Hello and welcome to Talking.Golf on Wisconsin.Golf. Talking.Golf is a weekly podcast featuring Gary D'Amato and Rob Hernandez. And now, talking all things golf in Wisconsin, here's Gary and Rob. Talking.Golf is sponsored by Old Fashioned Golf. Our friends at Old Fashioned Golf are creating Wisconsin-inspired golf apparel right in Green Bay, Wisconsin. All of their gear is extremely comfortable, with one-of-a-kind designs that allow you to show your love for this great state, both on and off the golf course. Now, you've heard me talk about the Welcome to Wisconsin ball marker that I have on my golf hat. Well, now have I got a deal for you. There's a pre-Black Friday sale going on at Old Fashioned Golf and oldfashionedgolf.com. If you spend $50, you'll receive a free ball marker. The deal runs now through Thanksgiving, and you can choose from the Welcome to Wisconsin ball marker, the State of Wisconsin sign marker, or the license plate contents ball marker. And you can check it out on their Facebook page at Old Fashioned Golf or go to oldfashionedgolf.com. Along with Gary D'Amato, Rob Hernandez here. And I tell you what, Gary D'Amato, they are using ball markers in the state of Wisconsin this week and golf clubs and the great Old Fashioned golf head covers on those golf clubs, and they're probably their polos because it does get cool early, but it's going to get nice and toasty here this week through Thursday. The photo we have of the course close sign on our story about the course closings from a couple weeks ago, they now have created a similar scorecard. We are reopening up there in River Falls. I believe it's Clifton Hollow, and they're one of many. University Ridge still open. I believe Trapper's Turn still open. A number of courses that closed, and you can't undo the winterizing of the greens. So those courses that did that, they can't reopen. But Gary, there's a lot of places to play golf in the state of Wisconsin this week, and maybe that's why we waited the Monday to record the podcast. We wanted to start out with good news.
Yeah, thank you, El Nino. I guess if that's what's causing this, I'm all for El Nino. Yeah, some great weather coming for mid-November, temperatures in the 60s. I played Spring Valley a couple of weeks ago and posted something on X, on Twitter, that it's probably my last round of the year. And since then, I've played once and probably will play at least once more this week, maybe twice more. So that was a premature last round posting, and I apologize for that because golf is still going strong.
Yeah, I think you lined up in the neutral zone there, offsides. That was a false start on your part. Gary, I hope you can get out.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the forecast for Madison here. Monday, 56, Tuesday, 58, Wednesday and Thursday, 62 and 62. Now, I'm not going to talk about Friday because it's a high of 46 with a low of 34, but I think that's when most courses are kind of figuring that they're going to have to shut it down again. So tell me what it's like outside your window. Does it feel like a beautiful fall, late fall afternoon?
Well, we're supposed to have sun all week, so I think that's going to really make a huge difference. The temperatures are going to be, nearing 60 to above 60. Right now, it's still a little nip in the air, but the sun's out, and I'm very optimistic because I've seen the forecast and know it's going to get better and better through the week.
We at the mke.golf, the Milwaukee County website for course conditions. Now, Brown Deer and Gretzka closed for the season, but you can still play Oakwood. You can still play Whitnall Park. You can still play Curry. You can still play the Gary D'Amato home course, Grant Park. Lincoln Park still open. The other par threes look like they're closed for the season. I'm not sure about Lake. They don't have a designation there. And it would appear that Yahara Hills and Odana Hills in Madison still open for the season. The city of Madison closed Monona and the Glen a few weeks ago. So that is promising. My hunch is, Gary, if you were to get in a car and drive towards Madison, you would probably see the Oaks and Door Creek still open. I have not seen any notice that they're closed. I tell you what, this is pretty cool. We're getting close to one of those years, Gary, where the end of the golf season and the start of the gun deer season might overlap.
Yeah, there's really no snow up north in Wisconsin, none to speak of anyway. And with temperatures being what they're going to be this week, feel a little sorry for the gun deer hunters because there's not going to be anything to track deer in. But don't feel sorry for the golf course owners, because there's going to be flag sticks and greens and people playing golf.
I had to laugh, Gary, because a few weeks ago, Indian Head Golf Course in Mosinee took on about 5 inches of rain. They closed the back nine, said it wasn't going to reopen for the year. And yesterday, on Sunday morning, they provided a course update that they're reopening all 18 holes at Indian Head in Mosinee. That's just north of Central Wisconsin Airport. And they will remain open until this coming Sunday, weather permitting. Carts available, the practice range, however, closed. The clubhouse open. You know, we had a relatively late start up north this year. In fact, we actually had a start, a stop, and then a restart with some of that late April snow. And this is great news for some of those courses up there. And, fall colors, I mean, that's way past. It's kind of weird to play golf with no leaves on the trees, but at the same time, if you're a golfer in Wisconsin, you will take what you can get when you can get it.
For sure. You know, golf traditionally is, most years is pretty much a non-starter after November 1st. And it looks like, I mean, the extended forecast I've seen, you know, we get a little bit of a cold snap after this warm spell, but then we get temperatures back in the 50s. So it's quite possible we'll be playing golf past Thanksgiving and even into December if people want to go out in 45 and 50 degrees. There's going to be a lot of golf courses that are still going to be open at that time.
So it's interesting, Gary, this week here in Phoenix, we will have highs in the upper 70s on Thursday and Friday. So that Thursday differential between you and in theory, the Valley of the Sun, not that great right now. So I tell you what, it's a reason to celebrate. And speaking of golf in Arizona, we just wrapped up yesterday the Charles Schwab Cup Championship down here. And Jerry Kelly with a really spectacular final round, actually final two rounds, back-to-back 500 par 66s. And he moves into a tie for eighth place in the finale here. It was interesting, Gary, you know, when I talked to Jerry at the end of last week, you know, after the first round, he couldn't wait for the season to be done. You know, really animated, very angry, a totally different Jerry Kelly yesterday. And I could tell that there was something going on because, you know, he was playing with David Toms. They were strolling the fairways on the back nine. I picked him up on number 10, and it was almost all fairways and greens. If he missed a fairway or a green, it was by, you know, a matter of a foot or two. And, you know, played bogey-free golf over his last 12 holes and played that stretch 500 par. And at one point was, I think, got as high as T5. But then he told me afterwards that, you know, he also has a John Trasimer story. His niece and Carol's niece, Allie Hain, married John Trasimer. I didn't realize that's who Allie is, and John and Allie. And, of course, Allie's dad, Jeff Hain, the owner of Hawks Landing and now Pioneer Point in Madison. And, you know, we've talked about it many times. This Kelly family tree is something to behold. We've got the Stricker-Tiziani family tree is pretty simple. It's a Stricker or it's a Tiziani. But, you know, the Kellys have Schumanns in the family tree. They've got the Haynes in the family tree, the Trasimars now. And apparently, John, you know, as we've reported last week in Sweet Spot after the Eric Van Rooyen win, you know, Eric Van Rooyen and John Trasimar and Alex Gaugert, Eric Van Rooyen's caddy, college teammates at Minnesota. John doesn't have long, and I think, you know, Jerry had gotten some bad news about where he was at in that end-of-life situation, and everyone's thinking about, you know, Allie, they're thinking about John and you know, the family there. And it was easy, Jerry said, to play with a purpose other than golf in mind, and the results showed. And he did make a couple changes, he said, for the final couple rounds that seemed to work, but you know, again, golf, it seems to be a family, a community, and Jerry's family and community right now, they're in a lot of hurt, and our thoughts and prayers go out to them.
Yeah, absolutely, Rob. There's nothing like, a serious illness or a death in the family that can help put golf into perspective. It's a game. Those guys play for a lot of money. There's a lot of pressure. There's a lot of stress. But then when you look at what's really important in life, golf is just a game. And I, you know, And Jerry realizes that, and so does Steve Stricker and everyone who plays golf at that level and has gone through something with a family or extended family member. It really puts it in perspective. And sometimes that frees you up to play better golf because you're not so focused inward. You're focused externally.
Yeah. So it was really a parallel emotions from Jerry Kelly from Thursday to Sunday. And now he goes into the postseason. Both Jerry and Steve are scheduled to play in the World Champions Cup in December down in Florida. And I know that they're both looking forward to that. And speaking of, you know, people being with loved ones, Steve Stricker having to withdraw from the Charles Schwab Cup Championship this past week to be with his father, Bob, who was hospitalized. I know that he's had heart issues over the years. And, you know, we hope the good news was that, and as you put in Sweet Spot today, Gary, Bob Stricker did go home from the hospital. I believe it was on Friday. And you know, Steve posted a picture from the hospital bed with the two of them and Bob with his smile. I tell you, when Bob Stricker smiles, Gary, the world lights up. And it was great to see that. Really, that tweet made my day.
Yeah, absolutely, Rob. I was so happy to see that tweet and so happy to see that smile on Bob's face. And I imagine Steve was smiling under that mask too. So, really heartwarming to see that, there's a good result to this story, which we were really concerned about just a few days ago.
And on the topic of Steve Stricker, he manages to, without even teeing it up at the Charles Schwab Cup Championship, he had mathematically clinched. Now, Stephen Elker's win brought that winning margin between Stricker and last year's overall champion Elker under $1 million. I mean, that's you know, tip of the cap to Stephen Elker. I mean, you know, if he had maybe won that, you know, a couple more events there in the playoffs, you know, it might have really made this a very awkward situation for Steve Stricker. But, you know, the PGA Tour champions couldn't ask for two nicer guys to be one and two. Stephen Elker was at media day at the Schwab Cup Championship a couple weeks ago, and I had a chance to talk to him. And, you know, he's a down-to-earth guy. He lives in Phoenix. He's got kids in school. You know, his life isn't quite the senior life yet, but it's getting there. But, you know, what can you say about Steve Stricker and the way he dominated and closes out a record-setting year on the Champions Tour?
It was a phenomenal year. It was maybe certainly in the top 3 years that anyone has ever put together on that tour, and maybe number one. I'm going to delve into that and try to come up with some comparisons between the great years that Hale Irwin and Bernhard Langer and even going back to Lee Trevino. Those guys had some fantastic years on the tour. But this might have been the best ever, when you look at all the records that Steve set, including scoring average, money won. That's hard to compare because the money wasn't as good, you know, 20 years ago on that tour, but certainly scoring average is a great barometer. And, to set the scoring average record of 67 and a half, basically, that's really low, Rob. That's phenomenal golf. I don't care what tour you play on.
Well, our media, friends at the PGA Tour Champions, Julie Nelson, Doug Milne, Connor Stange and Chris King, you know, have done a wonderful job of keeping pace with all of Steve's accomplishments. And let's just run through a few here, Gary. He becomes the 12th different player to win the Charles Schwab Cup in the 22 years. Obviously, Bernhard Langer and Hale Irwin, as you said, have done their fair share of dominating this tour during their the heights of their senior tour careers. One that really stands out, Stricker led the Charles Schwab Cup standings after 25 of the 28 weeks this season. The only other players to lead for at least 25 weeks during a season, Bernhard Langer in 2014 and Hale Irwin in 2002. I think we've established Steve Stricker is probably the third head on the PGA Tour Champions Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I just can't wait to see what the encore looks like next year. You know, how we've talked about it in recent podcasts, how much he'll play on the PGA Tour versus Champions Tour. It's going to be interesting to see where he takes this because his game is still as good as it's been, you know, for the last probably 15 years.
Well, Doug Milne asked yesterday if we're going to be down at the John Deere Classic. So I think they're already counting on the John Deere Classic. And speaking of the John Deere, we'll get back to Stricker in a minute. A shout out to Barry Cronin for his PR director for the John Deere Classic for his first hole in one over the weekend. He looked very bundled down there in Illinois getting that one, but I think a few layers can come off maybe even there this week as the golf season extends. back to Stricker, though, a couple of records were set this year. He set the single season scoring record for stroke average, 67.54. Freddie Couples in 2010 was 67.96. We kind of joked yesterday, it's kind of like George Brett taking the last game of the season off to protect the batting title. That might have been an inadvertent benefit of Steve not playing. That didn't get in danger. I'm not sure what the mathematics would have been on that. Let's face it, though, Phoenix Country Club was fairly generous this week. If you could hit fairways and greens, I saw a lot more putts hold this week than I've seen in recent Schwab Cup championships, Gary. So I think he would have protected that quite well. But a record is a record nonetheless.
Yeah, and you'd probably have to tell Steve what his scoring average is. That's something that I'm sure he doesn't really worry about or keep track of. But to beat the old scoring record, as you mentioned, by almost a half a stroke. I mean, usually when scoring records come down, it's by hundredths, right? And to do it by basically, four tenths of a stroke is, that's otherworldly. That's just fantastic.
So, he matched the second most single season wins since 2000, but he also matched the single season record for major championship wins, with three. And he almost had the fourth, if not for Bernhard Langer at Central World and Stevens Point Senior Open. And, of course, as you mentioned earlier, Gary, he set the single season earnings record, $3.98 million. Bernhard Langer in 2017 made $3.6 million. The key to that, everyone says, is to win the majors. And because Stephen Ames won four times, Stephen Elker won twice, Ames didn't even get in the top five of the Schwab Cup standings. So his were all regular events and didn't get more than $2.5 million. So Stricker wins the $1 million bonus at that 3.98 million points, which for him were all in dollars. He didn't get any doubled points off the playoffs. Stephen Elker, $3,173,000 and change. Ernie Els had a great Schwab Cup championship. He finished third, Padraig Harrington fourth, and Bernhard Langer fifth. I should go back to Jerry Kelly as I was posting the results last night. Jerry Kelly, the low American on the leaderboard this weekend. That's, I never stopped to think, because so many of these guys have been on American soil playing golf for so long. I don't look at the Americans versus the Europeans versus the internationals on the Champions Tour quite like I do on the regular tour. Maybe that'll change with next month's Ryder Cup-like event, but that was pretty cool that Jerry was the top of the heap there among the U.S. contingent.
And another top 10 finish in the overall Schwab Cup standings for Jerry. I believe he finished eighth.
Yes.
He's not won the Schwab Cup, but he's been right there almost every year that he's played on that tour. Hats off to Jerry for another good year.
Yeah. He was second 1 year to his good friend, Scott McCarron. And, and I remember, that was a pretty spirited battle here at Phoenix Country Club. And I know Eric Meller, Jerry's caddy, has worn the blue, the blue vest, caddy vest many times over the last 5 years, when Jerry's been number one. And, he's had his chances. I really liked, Jerry is not the longest golfer on the PGA Tour champions. In fact, he's probably one of the shorter ones, but, at Phoenix Country Club, he was, close on a number of the par fives and two, gave himself many birdie chances. He could have finished birdie yesterday, missed a short putt on 17, and then knocked it close. It looked like on 18, I was standing across the pond, looking back, at the back co-location, and, he hit it out of the he was in the bunker in two and then blasted out and just missed a putt after Thomson made one from about 15, 20 feet. Or he could have gone even lower. But, at that point, I think Jerry had proven what he, had to prove. He, played for his friend John Trasmar, his relative, and played well and played, and really enjoyed the moment. There were a lot of people out there on a Sunday at Phoenix Country Club that were, when they saw Jerry go by. Jerry triggers Packard cries, Badger cries, Wisconsin sports cries. And, there were a fair number of those, that I heard, from the gallery, because on the back nine, they've got a lot of fan, friendly viewing spots, including one. I think the one birdie miss that killed Jerry was on 17. Now, David Toms had already made birdie. He was trying to make birdie, but, anyone who makes birdie on 17, it's a par four. It's dollar beers for a certain period of time. And so he missed that opportunity, but luckily their group delivered with a David Thomas birdie, and everyone was happy as that group went to the 18th tee.
Well, you know, you raised the point that Jerry isn't very long off the tee, and he's not. He'll be the first to tell you he's not. But there's something to be said for playing out of the fairway, Rob, and Jerry does that as well as anybody on any tour. I mean, he's in the fairway 85% of the time. That always helps.
One of the stories I'd like to do next year, Gary, would be a Jerry Kelly dictionary on body contortions. Because I can, when I'm looking at him through, you know, I'm usually when I'm covering, you know, the Schwab Cup, I'm because Jim's not down here, Jim Kelsch, our photographer, you know, I'm looking at Jerry through a lens, and, you know, I see him strike the tee ball and I see him going like, you know, leaning one way, you know, or the other. He's kind of like the Eiffel Tower. And I'm trying to figure out, okay, how far right, how far left did that ball go? And then he walks up to it. And if it's not down the irrigation line, I think that triggers a lean by Jerry Kelly.
Yeah. Hey, I've got a new nickname for him, Rob. The Leaning Tower of Jerry.
I like that. I like that. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and you're right. You know, he's really particular, and because he is so straight. But and the other thing that he, you know, to piggyback on that, I think it was in Thursday's round that I watched. You know, he had a 200-yard shot in on one of the long par fours in the front nine, and had a fairway wood in his hand. And you know, he just got up there with the smoothest, best tempo I've seen out of him in a long time, and knocks it to like 5 feet and makes the birdie. You know, for most of us, trying to deal with 200-yard approach shots is a recipe for disaster. I mean, he steps up to them like he's got a wedge in his hand. I mean, I think, you know, we'd have to ask him at some point, but I think that, you know, whatever hybrids he's got in the bag are ones that he trusts the yardage on to, almost the number. And that was as impressive as anything else. And he's, you know, straight on second shots on par five to set up, you know, good shots there. And, you know, we've seen with Steve Stricker, you don't always have to hit par fives and two if you've got your wedges dialed in. And I think, you know, Jerry's, you know, while maybe not dialed into the level of Steve Stricker consistently, what I saw yesterday, I mean, every club in his bag was you know, on target and on number. And I think that's a great round for Jerry Kelly to sleep on going into the winter.
Yeah, it's a little reminiscent of Corey Pavin in his heyday, Rob, where he was as accurate with the forward as guys were with seven irons, you know. There's something to be said for being able to really control your ball with a hybrid or a fairway wood in your hands. And some of the best shot makers ever were great at that, including Corey Pavin, and Jerry is right up there with that kind of player.
Well, that tournament done. We will talk here in a second about other tournaments on the way. But first, we want to tell you that Talking.Golf is sponsored by Old Fashioned Golf. Our friends at Old Fashioned Golf are creating Wisconsin-inspired golf apparel right in Green Bay, Wisconsin. All of their gear extremely comfortable with one-of-a-kind designs that allow you to show your love for this great state, both on and off the golf course. And don't forget, they've got that promotion going. You spend $50 before Black Friday, so through Thanksgiving Day at oldfashionedgolf.com, and you will receive a free ball marker. It can be the Welcome to Wisconsin ball marker. It can be the one of the outline of the state of Wisconsin with the flag and Beloit, or it can be all the components of the Wisconsin license plate. Head on over to oldfashionedgolf.com for more about that great promotion. Gary D'Amato, I said it in your sweet spot today. You kind of outlined what's left for us. A lot, it's for professional golfers, it's final exam time. They're going back to school, qualifying school. We're through the level one for most of the tours, the DP World Tour, the PGA Tour, and now it's on to the second stage. And we've got some that are coming up here very shortly.
Yeah, we've got five golfers, Rob, in the second stage of PGA Tour qualifying. I think there's five sites, and our golfers, I believe, are at three of them, maybe four. But two of the second stage qualifiers are this week, and I believe the others are next week, possibly. And then we've got a PGA Tour champions qualifying with Mick Smith and Michael Crowley trying to get through to the second stage of and join, you know, Jerry and Steve on that tour next year.
And also the National Car Rental Association Assistant Professionals Championship, David Bach and Josh Grisa, both from the Kohler courses, will be down at Port St. Lucie, Florida here, in a couple weeks. Actually, this week.
Yeah, also, I didn't mention it in the sweet spot, but Evan Wartko, former assistant at Kashagan Mounds, who's now working in Midvale, Utah, at a private club, I believe, in Utah, also in the field. So it's he's no longer a state resident, but he has ties to the state. So we've got some guys to cheer on in that competition.
And there's a pretty big carrot at stake there, too. What are we at now for spots in the PGA Championship field? Are they 24 now, 25? I think there's fewer than 30 now.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I think they're down to 20, Rob, in the PGA Championship field, yeah.
And then, of course, Stricker and Kelly leading the charge, the six-man team for the World Championship Cup down at the Concessions Golf Club in Bradenton, Florida, in December. And that pretty much, I know there's a few kids that are playing Hurricane Tour events, junior golf tournaments, you know, in Florida and in warm weather spots where they can to try to get, especially some of the underclassmen. We should talk to Gary. It was signing day last week for seniors in high school as they look to go on to the next level. And we had a bunch sign led by, I guess, you know, Aiden Cudney is the one that I think a lot of people were looking to see where he would be going. And he committed a couple months ago to Illinois State. And then Illinois State went out and actually finished ahead of Illinois in a tournament. And so I think Aiden Cudney has found himself perhaps a diamond in the rough. You don't often think of an Illinois State as, you know, a program that might move the needle nationally, but boy, they like what they have in Aiden Cudney coming in, and they've already got a team that can go low in the right environment, as they showed recently.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. And I'd encourage people who don't know where all the fine young players are going in our state to go back and read what you aggregated, Rob, from all the social media posts. Quite a few, as you mentioned, quite a few young men and women going on to college from our state.
Only one going to Marquette, Vincent Cervantes out of Hamilton High School out here in Chandler, Arizona. I had a chance to see Vincent a couple years ago when Hunter Eichhorn was playing at the Patriot All-American over at the Wigwam Resort. And Steve Bailey's done quite well here in the state of Arizona.
Yeah, for sure. And I looked at Vincent's resume, and it's just sterling. I mean, that I think he's got a real player coming to Wisconsin, to Marquette, to help bolster that lineup. That young man has an incredible resume, Rob.
We wondered for a long time if and when we'd see Charlie Erlinson out of Madison at the University of Wisconsin. He's on campus now, going to class. He was a 2023 high school graduate who deferred his the start of his athletic eligibility clock to next year. And he did sign a national letter of intent to play for the Badgers next year. And I know that, you know, especially after Charlie had the great showing at the U.S. Junior Amateur Qualifier at Washington County Golf Course, you know, Mike Wilson was very excited. He's kind of the kind of guy, Gary, that rounds out a very solid class. Will Harnett and then two other kids from out of state coming in. And based on the comments from you know, from Mike on the stuff that the UW sent out, I think he feels this is kind of where his era kicks in, because as a lot of the, you know, holdovers and grad transfers, cycle out, now we're going to start seeing a number of 4-year guys starting as freshmen and continuing through to their senior year.
Yeah. I was very impressed with Charlie at the State Boys Junior that I covered at Bergamont. He didn't win, but he made it a battle down to the final hole and, in fact, into a playoff. So I'm really impressed with him. I think because he was a very good football player, that probably impacted, you know, how much time he could spend on golf in the summers. And now if he's totally devoted to golf, and he's only going to get better.
The UW women sign Lauren Salmon, a young lady who I actually coached against at Vista. She was at Vista Marietta when I was coaching at Chaparral High School in Temecula. And so she,
wow.
She was a freshman the COVID year when we played in the spring, right before We moved from California, and that was my last team over there. And I tell you what, she was impressive then. Really strong, strong driver of the golf ball. And I know she battled some back injuries this year, her senior year, lost in a playoff to her sister. Now, in California, siblings don't always go to the same schools, and you choose your schools based on what they have to offer. They're almost like college prep type schools, and there's a little bit of a relaxed boundary situation. And so her sister wound up winning the league title this year, and Lauren lost as one of two gals that lost in a playoff to her. And but then Lauren bounced back and made it to the CIF Southern Section Championship last week and shot a 76 and finished, will not advance to Poppy Hills for the state championship. But I'll tell you, the state championship in California, Gary, is like getting an invitation to the Masters. There's probably fewer spots than there are at the Masters for this thing. And you know, part of it's because of the travel. It's, you know, it doesn't matter which direction you're coming from. You're probably going to travel, you know, 3 or 4 hours to get there. And so she's not going to that this year, but she's going to be a big addition, as is Izzy Stricker. And it was neat to see on the same day that they announced that Steve wouldn't be playing in the Schwab Cup championship because of his father's illness, that the family was at Wanakee High School for Izzy's signing day. A long time in the making, and boy, Izzy really has played very, very well to get to this point, and I can't wait to see what the future holds for that young lady.
Yeah, you know, I walked a few holes with Todd, with Coach Erline, when Izzy was playing in the state WIA state championship, and he just raved about her and said she's only going to continue to get better, and I think that's the case given her level of dedication, how much she loves the game, and how hard she works. Rob, she's probably going to get a little stronger through her college years. They're going to put her on a little weight program, I'm sure, and she's got a huge upside, no doubt.
Izzy Stricker's high school teammate, Jordan Shipshock out of Wanakee, the one golfer signed by UW Green Bay. And I know she's going to be a very, very important piece of the puzzle for Lee Ranky and that team up there. He was itching to sign someone in state in the class of 2024. He's put up a wall around Wisconsin, or he's dedicated his recruiting on the women's side to Wisconsin. And Jordan is really fits the mold. She's really had a breakthrough year in 2023, and I expect that will continue. And so that was pretty cool to see. And then three really solid golfers heading over to UW Green Bay on the men's side. Brett Wieland out of Milton High School, his mom, Andrea, the very successful coach at UW Whitewater, and played at Wisconsin for Dennis Tiziani, and as did his dad, Kirk, back in the day. Kirk reached out to me and said that on his signing day, you know, they took, apparently they must have taken pictures back in the late 80s, probably black and white photos, but he said that I think he was a right-hander, and as a joke, he pretended to sign with his left hand. Now, apparently when Brett was signing his, he was actually signing, so he actually had to sign with his proper right hand. So there was no joking around by the second generation of Division I golfers from the Wieland family. That was funny, and it was cool to see both Kirk, Andrea, and then Kirk's parents, who have taken, you know, Kirk and Andrea run a golf course in Milton Oak Ridge Golf Course, and so mom and dad can't always take the kids to golf tournaments, so Graham and Grandpa did that. They were part of that picture as well.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. And, you know, Brett's got a younger brother coming up, Cade, who won the Wisconsin Junior Masters this year, Rob, and I got to watch him play. And I'll tell you what, he's a player too. They're going to have another college tuition paid for, I think.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. And then that Green Bay class also includes Mason Hopped out of West Appear, who, you know, was kind of stride for stride for a long time as a junior golfer with Aiden Cudney, and they played in a lot of tournaments together, made each other better. And, you know, much like Jordan Shipshock with, you know, Izzy Stricker, I think, you know, Mason comes in with, you know, a lot of, you know, maybe under the radar as far as, you know, what he brings competitively to that program. But I expect him to step in and compete right away for a spot. And then, of course, Logan Suter, who was really late to the game. You know, when Grace Suter started getting the itch, because Grace Suter wasn't going to go anywhere other than UW-Whitewater, where a few of her college or high school teammates from Oconomowoc went. And then all of a sudden they decided, okay, let's see how, you know, far we can take this. She wound up at Loyola for 2 years and now is down at South Alabama. about that time, Logan got the itch and started, you know, remember him caddying for Harrison Ott at the State Open that Harrison won at Black Wolf Run. And I think, you know, that experience plus, you know, just starting to experience some success, starting to grow a little bit, really helped Logan. And he also technically taking a gap year this year, working down at the Mike Bender Academy as his sister did in Florida. And he'll be, you know, he'll bring a lot to the Green Bay program as well. He's had some success. He won a Dells Junior Championship at one point. And so there's a lot of potential there with those three individuals for Lee Ranky. So I don't know about you, Gary. I feel pretty good about the future for the Division I programs in the state.
Yeah, I think tremendous upside in all those players you mentioned. I think Lee did a great job recruiting this year and got some really good players that are going to be playing for the Phoenix for the next 4 years.
But there's got to be about two dozen that signed and put photos on Facebook. Jessica Geiser, one of the late ones, this past weekend down at IMG Academy, signed her national letter of intent. We'll get the photo of that signing up. We put up the notice from Florida that she signed. Of course, she was from Heartland, won the state high school championship as a freshman, and then during COVID went to IMG and wound up staying there. So it's a very decorated class of 2024, and it may be topped by the class of 2027 at some point, Gary. The classes in between right now, and not to, you know, throw a spoiler alert on the upcoming junior rankings, but you know, they aren't quite as deep and may not pass the eye test that the class of 2024 did. But you know, what we saw was, because of the quality of the classes behind them, some of these classes around them, you know, get better. And we saw that with the class of 2023, especially on the women's side last year. And I would expect that to continue with the classes of 2025 and 26 before we get to 27. There's some really good individual talent in 26, especially on the women's side. But 27 in both the boys and the girls has a lot of potential, as you mentioned, with Cade Wieland, you know, at Milton, and you know, a couple other kids that have fared pretty well. We'll talk more about, you know, those rankings is on this podcast as we unveil those in the coming weeks. I'm tentatively scheduled to start that a week from Monday, and then it'll go through the middle of December, and we'll break down who's where in each of the classes. So I've got a little work ahead of me. I guess I better cut this podcast off here, right, Gary?
Right, and we've got a staff call. Don't forget coming up, Rob.
Oh, that's right. That's right. The Monday meeting.
Yep.
Appreciate your time. Monday morning quarterbacking the Schwab Cup Championship and looking ahead to the stuff that we've got left on the golf calendar. And we'll do this again next week.
All right, Robin. I know your rankings are eagerly anticipated. So that will boost our numbers at Wisconsin.golf for the month of December.
That's right. So we'll unveil those starting next week. And we'll come back with another podcast either later this week or again next Monday as we inch closer to the Thanksgiving holiday. Hope everyone gets out to play a lot of golf. And if you do, let us know about it. We'll be looking on social media for those that are out playing in and around courses in southern Wisconsin and, heck, all the way up to Mosinee. Get out to Indian Head. They're going to be open through this Sunday. But in the meantime, we thank Old Fashioned Golf, our sponsors of Talking.Golf, our friends at Old Fashioned Golf, are creating Wisconsin-inspired golf apparel right in Green Bay, Wisconsin. All of their gear is extremely comfortable with one-of-a-kind designs that allow you to show your love for this great state both on and off the golf course. And don't forget, they've got a great promotion going on their Facebook page at Old Fashioned Golf and at oldfashionedgolf.com. It's the pre-Black Friday sale. Spend $50 and receive a free ball marker. That ball marker, of course, can be the state of Wisconsin outlined with the flag at Beloit, maybe Janesville, or the components of the Wisconsin license plate, or that iconic Welcome Wisconsin welcomes you sign, all on a ball marker that clips to your hat. You get that for free if you spend $50 at Old Fashioned Golf. The deal runs now through Thanksgiving ahead of Black Friday. So go to oldfashionedgolf.com. For Gary, I'm Rob. We'll talk golf again next week.